we'll start. Welcome to On The Net, session number two. You guys are easily in the top two groups that we've had today, so well done already. I'm Dave, this is Gus. Let me tell you a little bit about Gus and his qualifications to be here. Gus is a computer nerd. He did computer nerdery at university. He's got a Bachelor of Computer Nerdery. And so he knows techie stuff. He's really, really smart. He lives in Pymble, goes to church in St. Andrews, Wurrunga. He's part of the youth ministry there, or he's been part of the youth ministry there as a leader. And he's worked for Telstra in computery stuff. And he's, for the last year, he's worked in computery stuff for YouthWorks. And he's going to tell us a little bit later on about an exciting project that YouthWorks are about to launch. And so that will be a great thing.
And this is Dave. He's from the Central Coast. He was a youth ministry person for about 10 years at Central Coast Evangelical Church. He's now studying at Moore College, and he goes to Christchurch St. Ives. He has an arts degree, but because he wasn't doing much, he spent a lot of time on the net.
That was a joke.
I'm an engineer and he's an arts.
I still didn't get it.
He had a podcast going at CCEC that made it into like the top six on iTunes. He's married to Rowena, been married for 6 years, and I'm running out of stuff to say, so I'll let him talk.
Awesome. Well, Gus and I are going to try to answer four questions. They're on page 16. I'm going to have a go at question one and two. He's going to have a go at question three and four. Question one, does God hate the internet? Question two, is it worth it? That is ministry and thinking about youth ministry and how to tap into online. Is it worth trying? Question three, what are the dangers? Question four, how do I do it? We've got a good chunk of time to do this, and we had a really good time of questions with the last group. And so if these aren't the questions you're asking, we hope that they will still be helpful. And if there are questions that you've got that we don't touch on, we'll have a good chunk of question time where you'll be able to ask those questions. Or if just the stuff we talk about makes you think of other questions, there'll be a good chunk of time at the end to ask those questions. So question number one is, does God hate the internet? Well, the Bible doesn't say much about the internet, so I'm not too sure if I have a direct word from God to say, I hate the internet. He hates divorce. We have a direct word that God hates divorce. But does God hate the internet? I'm not sure if God hates the internet or not. It's probably not the best way to start thinking about it. I think in reality, there's lots of things in creation and things in our world that in and of themselves are quite neutral, but can be used for good or can be used for bad. And so I think the internet's one of those things. It can be used for incredible good. As Christian teenagers encourage each other, as someone randomly Googles Jesus and finds out about the good news of Jesus, that's a good thing that the internet was there and that medium was used for someone to become a Christian perhaps. But we don't have to talk for too long to know of the terrible evil things of gambling, of pornography, of predators and all those types of things that happen on the internet. And so there's good and there's bad that happens on the internet. And so there's two key principles that underlie my thinking in youth ministry and thinking about how to use the internet in youth ministry. And so the first principle is, how can I encourage teenagers to use the internet for good and godly reasons? That is, how can I encourage Christian teenagers to be disciples online, to be different, to display the fruit of the Spirit, to use their words not to attack people, to build people up? How can I help Christian teenagers to think about what their eyes are looking at and therefore what their heart is like because of what their eyes are looking at? So there's the first key principle. How can I encourage the teenagers in my youth group to think about the internet and use it in such a way for good, encouraging, God-glorifying means? But the second key principle is, how can the way my youth ministry uses the internet actually help to enhance our real community? You got that question? You got that point? How can the communities that we create online help to actually enhance our real communities? Because there's some that would argue that online communities can be real communities. I'm not convinced they're real communities. There might be genuine encouragement or genuine sharing over some hobby or sharing over some common interest or whatever it might be. But as far as the real alive community that we're meant to share in as Christians, that the death of Jesus has made possible, I'm not convinced that the internet is where the action is as far as real fellowship in the flesh, where we can pat each other on the back, where we can kick each other up the bum, where we can do all those types of things. I'm not convinced that the internet is real community. I think it's a false community. And so I reckon you want to think through, as you think about using the internet in your ministry, that's not where the action is. The action is in the virtual world. The action is the real world. And so what am I trying to do? I'm trying to use this false virtual world for the real world, for our real relationships, for our real fellowship, for our real community. And so everything that you do online ultimately needs to go to that end. I reckon it's easy. It's easy for young guys in particular, as you start thinking about using web media and videos and podcasting and all these types of things, that you spend 100 hours making this fantastic video to put on your website. You haven't written your Bible study for that week, or you haven't phoned the kid who was not a Christian who came along with the Christian kid, and you haven't done that follow-up. And so you want to make sure that any things that you're doing on the internet are not taken away from real ministry and real fellowship and real community. And so that doesn't mean you don't do it. I'm going to argue that here's the next question. I think there is value in doing it, and there's value in being online, but it must never take away from the real relationships, the real community, and the real encouragement from the real life community. And so that might mean rather than spending, rather than going for 100% quality with a particular video, you might go for 80%. It's still pretty good. Rather than going for perfection, you might just pull a step back. That doesn't mean we don't try to look good and operate well. And one of the things with lots of media now anyway is there's sort of the rawness anyway. You know, like a YouTube and status updates and all these types of things are such that it's just this rawness. And so you take a video on your mobile phone and you upload it straight away. You don't edit it or whatnot. Here's a good lesson. We've made 40 or so youth group videos that you can find at youtube.com/CCECYouth. You know that lunar eclipse last year? That was August 27, I think it might have been. I stood outside with three other people that particular night with my mobile phone pointed at the moon doing weird things, and so my hands shaking, and we recorded for about 5 to 10 minutes footage of the lunar eclipse that was happening. There's just a bit of commentary in the background, terrible footage. Uploaded it. Within a couple of hours, there's 1,000 people that had watched it. By the next day, there was 2,000. I think it got up to about 3,000 or 4,000 with absolutely no effort whatsoever. And yet, I've made all these other videos that have taken lots and lots of time that have got nowhere near as many hits as that. What's my point? Make sure that what you're doing is not taking away from your real community, that you're seeking to actually build that community and not just some virtual community. You'd much rather have someone who's never visited your website but is at youth group week by week, is praying for a prayer partner every single week, is turning up to Bible study, is living as a Christian in all the different realms in their life, than someone who is regular on your website but you've never seen them before. Yeah? So it's always got to enhance the real community. And so question number two, is it worth it? If it is all about real community and that is where the real action is, maybe we should just leave the internet websites to the mega churches who've got people that they can employ to do that type of stuff and people that can make that happen. Maybe. I reckon it's worthwhile. I reckon it's worthwhile thinking about how we use internet technology to enhance our communities, to enhance our real fleshly communities. Teenagers are living in that world. 89% of Australian teenagers are regular, like daily, users of the internet and users of social networking websites, Facebooks and MySpaces and Zangas and Bebos and YouTubes and Twitters and all these types of things. 89% of Australian teenagers are living in that world. There is no other subcultural grouping that you've got at your youth group that hits 89% as this does. Like, you might, like, there's no youth group that has 89% emos in the youth group, or 89% from the one school, or 89% who are surfers, or 89% who are North Shore princesses. I don't know if you've met them, but they're all over the North Shore. They're terrible. They own BMWs. They're crazy. But you don't have 89% of anything in your youth group, but you've got 89% of your youth group, 89% of teenagers are online. They're in that world. And I reckon for that reason alone, it's important that we have some type of Christian presence online and some type of Christian encouragement online. Teenagers spend a lot of time at school. So what do? We've got seminars, I don't know if they're today or tomorrow, on school ministry. We want to start Christian groups in schools. We want to start crusader groups in private schools. We want to start, we want to run events. We want to invite friends along from school. What do with our Christian teenagers? We say, you've got to live as a Christian at school. That's a common application. What's this going to look like at home? What's this going to look like in your casual job? What's this going to look like at school? You know, there's people spending longer online than they spend on at school. Because part of the time they're at school, they're online anyway. They've got portable devices that are logging on whenever, sending tweets and SMSs and all sorts of things like that. And so I reckon it's important that we want to think through, how do we form groups, not just in schools, but in these virtual communities? How do we form groups that are not there to become like a Christian MySpace where you no longer interact with the rest of the world, but how do we form groups so that Christians can be encouraged, so that Christians can say to their friends, look, I'm a Christian, so that non-Christian friends can find out something about Jesus and find out something about a community of Christians that's not just online, but is in the real world. And so, how many people are regularly giving talks or leading Bible studies? Just a quick show of hands. Most of us are regularly giving talks, regularly giving Bible studies. One way that you can help to think through this, because you may not be yet ready to make some website. Gus will tell you some exciting news about how you can do that very shortly. But I reckon step number one is, in your discipleship of teenagers, how do you help them to think through being Christian online? And so that might well be the application in a talk, is helping them to think through not just being a Christian at school, not just being a Christian with the footy team, because we do that with the boys. It's pretty hard to be a Christian in the footy team when we encourage them. It's pretty hard to be a Christian online. It's probably harder for a teenage boy to be a Christian online than it is in their footy team. They can do things in secret online that they can't do in secret when their footy team is there. And so I want to encourage you to think through, how do you use application in your talks and in your Bible studies, and helping teenagers to think about every area of life, and with the internet making up such a large percentage of what they're doing with their social time, or what they're doing the second they get home and race to the computer and check their MSN or check their Facebook or whatever the current fad is at the time. And so one way that I've done this before, I can't even remember what the Bible passage was. That's irrelevant for the time being. But the point was, I was talking about how back in my day we used to put posters on our walls and they would show what's important to us, maybe the sport or the semi-clad bikini models, or they're important to you, or whatever it is that's important to you, you put it up on your walls. And so I think a MySpace wall or a Facebook wall or whatever is a bit like a virtual bedroom wall. You put up on your wall what's important to you. And so one of the challenges I put 2 years ago on camp to our Christian teenagers was, you're a Christian, great, be a Christian online. And are people going to know you're a Christian by looking at your walls? And I made it clear. I said, look, you don't have to plaster them with Bible verses and have a background that looks like a cross and these fluffy doves and all that. You don't have to do that type of thing. You don't have to be a freak. But how are you going to show in a little way that you're a Christian? And so there's applications where you can put a daily Bible verse that pops up. That's not too intrusive. You can just simply say, I'm a Christian and this matters to me. You could say, I go to this youth group and that matters to me. There's a whole bunch of ways, just in small ways, you can encourage teenagers to be Christian online. So let me encourage you in your application in talks and studies to think about that. And I can tell you that having seen MySpace pages and having encouraged this a whole bunch of times, kids actually, if they're serious about following Jesus, they'll follow through on it. And they will actually change what they write and have good things as opposed to bad things. And so we even had an incident once when there were some girls who wrote some terrible things about another girl in the youth group. And we ummed and ahed, should we pursue it? And in the end, we thought, yeah, let's bring it up with them. And they knew that what they did they shouldn't have done, and they rectified it. They even apologised to the girl, and because she knew about it. It was there for everyone to be for everyone to see. And so in your discipleship and in your making of disciples and encouragement of disciples, help your disciples and Jesus' disciples to think about what it will mean to be a Christian online. I reckon because teenagers are online, I reckon it's good to tap into the stuff they're already doing. If you've got this great idea of a photo sharing website, you don't need to build it. It already exists. It's called Flickr. Or a video sharing website, it's called YouTube. And so rather than creating your own thing, you just have your youtube.com/ccecu and you create your own channel where you can put your own videos on and all those types of things. They've got MySpace, they've got Facebook, they've got Twitter, they've got MSN forums, they've got online games, they've got all these things, podcasting, they're into all these things. And so I'd encourage you to tap into that world. It doesn't mean you have to fully immerse yourself in it, but understand it. Utilise it where you can. You've probably got some youth leaders who can easily whip up a page on some of these things. And I reckon also one of the responsibilities, probably more so of the youth pastor, but I think the youth leader in general, is to help parents to think through this stuff. Most parents, their 10-year-old knows way more about the internet. The 5-year-old knows way more about the internet than they do, and that's pretty scary for some of them. So I'd encourage you to encourage parents and help parents in thinking about how they parent and how they help their teenager to think through these things. I think part of understanding this world is critiquing this world and helping to, Gus will talk a little bit about some of the dangers in a moment, helping teenagers to see the dangers and helping teenagers to be different and not do the same things that their friends may well be doing online. But not just critiquing it, actually use it positively. I'll give you one quick example. In a talk at the end of last year, I gave on, it was on friendship. It was sort of a biblical theology of friendship and sort of flowed through what friendship looks like throughout the Bible. And what I did was I said, my introduction was all about social networking and some statistics about the websites that are on and what that shows about our value on friendship. And so the point was, look, we love friendship. We value friendship. We hate it when our friends are mean to us. We love it when our friends are nice to us. We love being able to fit in. We love being accepted. We love being part of friends with people. And so in the end, we looked at a bunch of different verses. And in the end, it was about Jesus and what a friend we have in Jesus and what Jesus has done, laying down his life for his friends. And so it was an opportunity to not just talk about social networking and bag it. It was an opportunity to say, look, you're in this world. You love this world. This is what it shows about you. And let's put the Bible back into that world and put Jesus back into that world and use it in a positive way like that. Just before I hand over, let me encourage you, as you think about websites and stuff, use it to your advantage as well. There's so many websites out there that will actually help you to understand teenagers and teenage culture better. Like ones they're actually reading are a good place to start. But websites... I'll give you a couple. Ypulse.com, it's on the bottom of the page. It's all about Generation Y. It's very good. These aren't Christian websites per se. Youthfacts.com.au, there's a statistic on that website for every talk you ever give about teenagers. It's a good one. And a bunch of others. And very quickly, I'm about to hand back over to Gus. I thought I'd tell you about three things that I think were effective and good fun that we've done in the past in our youth ministry. Number one was a weekly email. It wasn't hard to do, but it was very good for communication with youth. And parents loved it. And it meant if they missed youth group for 1 week, they'd go online, see this weekly email, or get delivered to their inbox. And that was good value for communication. It was regular and it worked. Another thing, as Gus alluded to before, we had a radio show called On the Potty. We had 85 episodes, we made it as high as number 6. It was a bit of fun, basically. We talked about Jesus, we talked about youth group, we talked about life, we talked about culture and stuff in the media. One of the great things that did was it created an ownership within our youth group. It created kids felt like they owned it, they were interviewed on it, they sent their letters into it, they heard their leaders on it, they heard their friends on it. And back with where I started, it actually... just through something that literally took us half an hour a week to record and then upload to the internet, we're actually able to enhance our real community. That wasn't our real community, and we had to make sure that becoming famous internet radio stars didn't become our goal in life. But it actually did something real for enhancing our real life Christian community. And the final thing, number 3, was a microsite called iagreewithdale.com. My theory about term three in youth ministry is it's often the bluesy term. You might drop in numbers a bit, it's a bit wintry, people get a little bit sick. And so my theory is that you actually put extra energy into term three, make it a little bit bigger, a little bit louder, and try not to have the curve drop that term. And it might plateau a bit, but maybe it might even grow. And so we had a website that was quite ambiguous during term two that we said, look, check out this website over the holidays and keep an eye on it. And then basically, you need to check it out, iagreewithdale.com, and you can find out what we did. And that was something that was fun and helpful and that the kids in our youth group enjoyed. Question one, does God hate the internet? Not sure. Bad stuff happens, good stuff happens. Encourage the good stuff. Question two, is it worth it? I think yes, it is worth investing in it. But remember that our ultimate goal is to enhance real life community and not to be all about that virtual online community. Question three.
Question three is, what are the dangers of the internet? So I'm going to break it up into two sections. The first one is the bad stuff on the internet, and the second one is the good stuff. And I'm going to fly through it, so keep up. The first, I made them all P's so you can remember them. So the first bad thing on the internet is pornography. We've got really good at talking to our kids about dating or not dating and sex and God's place for sex in society, but we don't often bring that back into talking about pornography. And realistically, for many teenagers, that's their first introduction to sex. And, you know, some crazy statistics say that up to 70 or 80% of the commerce on the internet is pornography. So it's a real thing that's happening, and we should be just talking with our youth about it and encouraging a free conversation with that in a kind of appropriate way at whatever age you think is appropriate. And some practical things you can say to help kids with that is, if you're using a computer, the door should be open in that room. Also, computers should actually be in public. So you don't take your laptop into the bedroom or into the study. You have the laptop in the living room or the computer in the family room. And the third thing you can do is there's software that can actually monitor what you're doing on the internet and email that to a close friend. So two examples of that software are covenanteyes.com and x3church.com. They're on your resource list. Read about it, see if it's appropriate for your youth group. The second P of the bad stuff on the internet are predators. You might have heard a couple of days ago some guy got arrested for chatting up a 14-year-old girl, I think it was, which actually turned out to be like a 30-year-old cop. So predators are on the internet and they are using it for bad stuff. And we should help our kids think about what they're doing, is it appropriate, and particularly not encourage them to do anything inappropriate. So for example, don't put personal details on anything. Whatever goes on the internet is available to everybody, whether they're your best friend or not. So if you don't put your personal details or personal conversations on there, it's going to encourage your kids not to. And also bring it up. Say, hey, think about what you're putting online if you see stuff that might not be helpful. Again, privacy is the third P. People like to take over your, you know, it does happen more than they let on, that people steal your identities and people, you know, find little kids online. So keep your details to yourself. Remember, whatever is there is available to everybody. Fourth P is protection. If you're in an Anglican church or in a, I think the Presbyterians and the Baptists have similar things, every year or three you have to do child protection training. So if you're using the internet, make sure that whatever you're doing can be accountable. Some people like to come up with rules like, if you're going to email kids, make sure you CC another leader in on that conversation. If you're Skype or MSN, you can turn on logging so that it'll record all the conversations that have been had. You might want to think about using the home phone when you have the opportunity rather than a mobile so that it goes through a parent. Parents know what are happening with your conversations with their kids. You might also want to include a permission note. If you're going to use photos online, at the beginning of the year at our youth group, we send out a letter, ask for all the details of the kids to keep our records up to date. And at the bottom, we just have a form saying, I don't mind if... you know, sort of appropriate photos are used for publicising St Andy's youth. And parents have been fine with that, and almost all of them have agreed. The final P is procrastination. If you've been at uni, you've spent a lot of time reading Sydney Morning Herald when you should have done your assignment. So simple things you can encourage your kids is don't do your study in front of the computer. You know, use the dining table and use the computer anywhere you need it for your study. And be doing that yourselves so that you can model that to your kids. Also, know when they're in exams and in HSC and that, and don't sort of
be engaging in MSN conversations with them at that time. Say, hey, we're not going to chat to you this week so you can study more. Might help them. So how to kind of put all this into practice? I'd encourage you at the beginning of your year, when you have your first meeting, set up some just general policies so that all your leaders, particularly younger leaders, know where they stand, how they can communicate with their kids. If you want to set up those rules like CC other leaders in, start that early. And also let your kids know what the rules are so that your kids know what to expect from your leaders. And let the parents know so that the parents see that you're acting above reproach in a godly way. Not everything about the internet's bad. So there's two P's that we reckon you can do with the internet. One is you can promote Jesus. There's kind of the active stuff. Like if you're on Facebook, you can say, Gus is pumped about youth ministry conference. Let people know you're a Christian. When it says your religion, put in your religion. But then there's kind of more passive stuff. Just have your conversation. We talk about salty conversation. So on the wall, write some encouraging stuff from maybe a Christian perspective. You don't have to go uber geeky kind of Christian guy. Be real about it. But think about, hey, people are reading this. Are they going to realize I'm a Christian reading it? Are they going to realize I think Jesus is good? Even better than good. Second good is you can promote your group identity. A couple of ways is you can create a place where your kids it's where they feel that they belong in an identity sort of sense. So if they have a Facebook, if they're on Facebook, create a group on Facebook, then they're advertising to all their friends that, Gus joined St. Andy's Youth. They all know that I'm a part of that youth. They know that I value that youth. I know I value it. I get a bit more interaction with my youth group during the week. So that's kind of all the P's. We'll quickly move on. How do I actually do all this? We've kind of talked a lot about internet is good and how to avoid the bad stuff, but how do I put it into practice? I think websites are a good thing, but they can be extremely time consuming. I kind of know quite a bit about websites, and I could, if I wanted, spend hours building a website for my youth group. Only get involved in it once your studies and your games and your food and everything else is organized, then think about your youth group's website. A second thing with your website, don't do it alone. Make sure that other leaders are going to be involved in some way. They don't have to know quite as much but make sure you're not the only person contributing. I think that's important so that when you leave or when you get really busy with exams or whatever, the website doesn't, die off when you don't die off. And also, thirdly, remember your website is going to be visible to everyone. So it's not just for the youth. It's also for their parents. It's for the kids who haven't been to youth group before. When you go to buy a car, you check out, Toyota.com and check out the car. So when kids are going to websites, going to youth groups, they are really freaked out by the idea of going to youth group. They're going to check out the website. So is it presentable? Is it encouraging for non-Christians as well as your regular kids? Easy options are things like Facebook and MySpace. Quick show of hands, who's on Facebook? Almost everyone. Who's on MySpace? About a lot less. If we did that with youth group kids, particularly in, say, years 8 to 10, it would be the exact opposite. Most of them would be on MySpace and very few would be on Facebook. So getting involved in onlineness might mean you need to change your habits. We can't expect the kids to. So if your kids are on MySpace and really, really heavily into it in your youth group, maybe you need to go create a profile, spend less time with your friends on Facebook and go into MySpace, in whichever way I said. Second option is to actually create a website from scratch. If you're in an Anglican church, through Sydney Diocese Secretariat, SDS, you can get free web hosting. If you want the email address, I can find it for you. And then you can get some software like WordPress, stick that on the website. It'll run your website, spend hundreds of hours making it look good. Remember, it's going to be time-consuming, possibly. And you can create a website like that. Or alternatively, we've been working at YouthWorks on a project we've called Fervor. So a few years ago, a couple of guys were sitting down, and they realized we run youth camps at YouthWorks, and so do Crusaders. But we get kids come along, you get 6 days of awesome time with those kids. You think that they're almost becoming Christians. They kind of say, yeah, I want to know Jesus. And then they go home and you never talk to them again. Youth group can be kind of the same. You see them on Friday night or maybe on Sunday, but then they go to the non-Christian family, the non-Christian school friends, and all that progress during during Sunday, and you see him next week, and you're like, what happened? The third one is there's tons of stuff on the internet. You want to get good resources for running your youth group, so you type in, you know, Christian Bible studies, and you have a lot of stuff says to be Christian, but how much of it is really actually any good? So we came up with this idea of Fervor. It's a website. Part of Fervor is trying to engage in youth in their culture. So we write reviews, we write articles, we critique the current affair news. There's how-to guides to help leaders run their youth group better. And, you know, we've got ideas like Bible reading plans. We want to have a store running where you can buy good quality stuff that, you know, publishers won't let us give for free. So this is the website. It's got about, you know, there's articles there. We're going to fill it with even more articles. They're written by people who we vet, make sure they're good quality writers. And here's an example. This is an article on who can make poverty history, challenging the idea that, you know, in this fallen world, poverty might be made history, and looking at it from a Christian perspective. Second thing we're doing is we're letting youth groups create their own website online. You can write articles or posts, let kids know what's happening in your youth group. You can upload videos or MP3s and create a podcast. You can put picture galleries. Kids love pictures. You want a youth group you want your website to be successful, put photos up and the kids will be there straight away just asking for more photos. You can put documents on. We have a wall. We're calling it Shouts because Facebook took the name wall first. Kids get their own profile. So when kids want to log in, they have to supply the details to us, so you don't have to give us the kids' details because that would maybe be inappropriate. The profile, not too much information goes public. So it's only really the names of the kid and what groups they're in is visible to other people. We keep all the other details confidential. We let you SMS your kids. So if it's raining and you're meant to go to the beach, you can tell all the kids, hey, we're not going to the beach anymore. We're going to meet at church. We'll charge a small fee, sort of 9 or 10 cents for that, each SMS. You can email all your kids and we'll record a copy of all those emails. We'll record a copy of all the edits of those emails. So if anyone ever said something bad happened, we have a record of everything, and really helps with your child protection stuff to know that someone's, in a sense, looking over your shoulder, but not in a big brother kind of way. You can put events on there. So this is a group website. This is themed to look garish because it's for young kids, we're guessing. You can make it look different if you want. You've got a post, you've got a calendar of events, you've got the media up the top there. It's all really easy to use. So on the bottom left is a form. You fill in that form, click save. Suddenly you've created an event on your website. It looks like that. It puts the map there for you, and all the kids know what's happening. Who's it for? It's free to anyone. So YouthWorks is making it, but Anglicans do like other people, and so we're going to let everyone else use it. If you're a church youth group, you can create a group. If you're a school lunchtime group, you have an opportunity now to interact with your kids outside the classroom. If you're a scripture group, a beach mission, after beach mission, we're going to give all our kids, we meet a card saying, meet us at, you know, jeroa.fervor.net, and any other youth ministry we haven't figured out. If you can use it, go for it. It's be available on December 1st. Check out example.fervor.net for an example group and gofervor.net for all the details about what's happening on Fervor.
Yeah. Excellent. What we'll quickly do, we've tried to answer about 4 questions. We've shared a whole bunch of ideas. We're keen to hear any more questions or any more comments or whatever it might be. But the best thing might be just to quickly for the next minute, talk to the person or two nearby. What's been helpful? What questions do you still have? What stuff have you currently implemented? What stuff have you not implemented? What do you want to do? What are your goals? All those types of things. Just quickly talk, just throw around for a minute, and then we'll come back here for about 10 minutes or so of questions. And hopefully that'll continue the conversation. Go.
Thank you. Guys, we might bring it back up this way. Does anyone have any questions that came out of that discussion?
Or any that didn't?
Yeah. One question that came up before was how much do you need to update your website if you're going to get into that kind of thing? We talk about freshness in the industry. So the idea is, if you want people to look at it once a week, you update it 1.5 times a week. And they do it half time. So I recommend getting into it once a week at least. You don't have to do much. Like 200 words is enough for an article and something for them to read. Something, if you've been doing something at YouScrew, if you're going through a series on, you know, judges, write a little article about your talk and publish that and just encourage commenting on it and getting into it.
It might also be, you don't even need 200 words, it might be you've already made a postcard for church, just put a picture of it online. And so it doesn't always have to be, you actually want to keep things pretty small, and so it doesn't always have to be an article or a profound comment, it might just be a reminder of an event that's coming up, or as I was saying before, it might actually remind them of their real community. So the thing we used to do every Wednesday is we put a collage of 9 photos we took from the previous Friday night. So what was that doing? Just a reminder to the youth group kids of, here's the people I hang out with on a Friday night, a reminder of their brothers and sisters in Jesus in the middle of the week. So my theory also is definitely once a week at least. I've set up a website for a church up on the Central Coast, Saturday EV. And the guys that look up, I didn't take long to set it up. I used a thing called WordPress.com, free website, quickly set it up. We just put a nice a header that looks a bit like their vibiness. And the guy that keeps that up today literally spends 15 minutes a week doing it. They have 2, often 3 things a week. So they'll have a sermon that they'll upload, they'll have some type of an announcement, and maybe one other thing. Daily reading notes and things like that that they put online. Because one of the keys, I reckon, with putting content online, if you've already done the work in making the content, so it might be a Bible study or daily reading notes you've written, it only takes another couple of minutes to put it online. And it might be as a download, or you might just copy the text straight out and put it online. If you give it a talk, or if you're preparing to give a talk, you might actually turn a talk that had 4 points into 4 posts over the next week. And there's a reminder of what they've heard. You might pick up people who weren't there and whatnot. But yeah, keep it fresh.
Any other questions from you guys?
Further, you said it's free.
Yep.
Do you get an email address to what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the
details. Cool. You get a website. So it'll be something.fervor.net. My youth group's website is at stannies.fervor.net. You can also set it up so that if you've got an existing one, we've got youth.stannies.org, and now forward to stannies.org. www.fervor.net. If you've got any specific questions, it's kind of... I have another presentation, it takes 20 minutes, so...
Comments? Questions?
I think there's been some challenge with communication with you now with text. The amount of times running to something that's written, and there's no emotion or I can't see someone's face. And,
yep.
And just the challenge of keeping kids to interact face to face and when to know when to write and when to speak. There's a world out there, it's just it is all text now, it's not actually communicating. So it's a challenge.
Is there a way, because I'm very aware that the kids in my group know a lot more about the internet than I do, or how to use it anyway, but is there a way, I've had a lot of issues with girls putting inappropriate photos of themselves on there and really not being aware of how accessible they are. Is there a way to communicate that they will get, or is it just a generational thing because they've grown up with the internet, they kind of take it for granted?
I reckon it, what I was saying before as far as application talks and whatnot, so the youth group that I'm not the youth pastor of the church I'm at the moment, the youth pastor there, his application regularly helps guide the girls to think about what it means to Christian in general. And so I reckon it starts there, but then I think you can push it another step further, helping them, whether it's up front, whether it's in a one-on-one conversation, just to think through the implications of what they're putting online. Often it can be a parenting thing as well. Youth ministry, a big part of youth ministry is working, partnering with parents. So I don't know, it's a combo of all three of those things. So just the general Christian discipleship, the how to help them think about being Christian online, some of those key dangers that Gus was talking about, and also the interaction with parents and how they're helping them.
It's just been like, a disturbing shock. Because they all need to get life back, which is just thrown at them because I've done it.
Yeah.
With the help of my niece. But I check out all their photos and I do all that stuff. They've invited me to, join in on their MySpace thing. So I'm looking in, and I the things that they write and that they come across and how open they are and how raw the things that they are. I've talked to like one month or something about some photos of things and said that we need to get more.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how it just sort of keeps happening. So I just don't know if there's any way, but obviously it's just.
I don't know if it was this session or the last session, it might have been this one. So we approached some girls before, was that this session I said? I didn't say it in one of them. Keep chipping away at it, keep praying. I think there might be a deeper heart thing if they're ignoring that word. So there might be more going on than just... Yeah, there you go, so there's a helpful distinction. This is the key thing I ask. So our youth group, I'm not sure any friends have got at the moment, on the MySpace, it had at least 200 MySpace friends. The majority of those were Christian family kids, but there's also ones that were just people who visited youth group. And so I'd get some insights into all these kids by checking out their MySpace pages. If there's a kid from the local high school who is not from a Christian family, who doesn't claim to be Christian, I'm not surprised when they're dropping the F-bomb every couple of lines. I'm not surprised by the photos they're putting up. My expectation is that that's what they'll do, because that's what they're like. But if it's a Christian family kid, if it's a kid that claims to be a Christian, if it's someone that's really a cool kid, there's stuff you'll go harder with them than you will the kid who doesn't even know.
I feel like I'm invading their privacy, just getting on there. I mean,
Like, I think I've written on the bottom there, shoulder surf, discourage secret keeping. I'd qualify that a little bit. I reckon there's a sense where you want kids from their parents, you don't want your parents to see and hear everything you do. So I reckon the distinction is between embarrassed and ashamed. You might be embarrassed when your parent or youth group leader reads that you've got the hots for someone, but you'll be ashamed when X, Y, Z. Do you know what I mean? And so I think that's a helpful distinction.
And so, how far do you want to go as far as invading their world? Don't go too far.
No, but you want to
push it.
And when there's pictures, it can be, it's fun, girls having fun kind of thing, but then someone else who looks for that sort of stuff is going to take that a totally different way and use it in a totally different way. You don't want them to be different.
And one of the key things is getting them to make their profiles private is significant, I think.
They want more friends.
Yeah.
You don't get to be friends when it's private.
Yeah.
Is that a comment, Mr. Mary? Do you have a comment?
Oh, I was thinking, I'm here to do your thing, but like, are you just tackling it from the point of view that rules wise, or you're actually from the heart? Because if you fix the heart and get them to understand why you want these and why it's good for them, and that they actually want that rather than have to, because kids don't like to do anything. So,
I generally have a more sort of friendship kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you could do a Bible study specifically on, well, not about rules. But these are some cool things that you think about and think their hearts right and then attitudes towards it rather than just being for by rules because there's many million of those. So
out of interest, how much okay, I've uploaded these photos on the internet but now I want to take them off because it's still there somewhere, is that the general?
So, in terms of...
I put it on my Facebook, for example,
and
then go, actually, I don't want them there anymore because I don't think it's, you know, I don't want people to see the pictures of my kids or whatever else. I'm going to take all them off. Is it still there?
It's still there somewhere.
Google keeps a record of everything, pretty much.
Further, we keep it intentionally because if, you know, some inappropriate photo went up and then someone complained and later went and took it down, we want to be able to say, this is what was there. So we keep it intentionally. You don't know what Facebook further do. I mean, Facebook, MySpace, I'm sure they do keep it though.
That's the key with the privacy thing, because I think it's harder to keep a record of it if you've blocked, like only your friends can see it. It's not crawlable by Google if it's private, if that makes sense. Go to YouTube and type in something like, think before you post. There's about three videos, American videos, that are basically saying once you put it online, it's on there. Someone saved a copy. Someone has Google saved many copies. I think they're a little bit scare tactic-y, but they're still helpful and I reckon worthwhile. Maybe if you've got MySpace or youth group pages or when you get a Fervor page, I think they're good ones to encourage kids to watch as well. They might think before you post. That should get it for you. There's two, maybe three in the series. Like they were put out by an official government organisation in America.
The other one on the back of what you said, in regards to kids coming on and putting, you know, a whole heap of stuff on a Facebook page, for example, that because they're part of your youth group or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of swearing stuff that's not really appropriate to your youth group page. You as an administrator of that then go and get rid of that? Or does that then, you know, go, well, oh, you're sort of segregating me, you're not letting me put my stuff up there or...
I reckon, I expect the non-Christian kid to behave in a certain way, but when they're writing it on my wall, I'm free to rub it off. And so, you can do things in such a way so everything has to get approved to be able to be posted. And if you're getting a problem where you often get the people dropping the F-bomb or whatever it might be, you might need to do that. I generally found that there's enough, that people will help you to moderate, and I think probably twice in a few years we had bad things written on the youth group MySpace page, and the kids will go, hey, send you an email, get rid of this. And so I'm willing to take the risk in those scenarios that you'll come offline pretty quickly with a stray comment, but it might well mean that you could tie it with your moderation if people keep doing it, or you might obviously delete them as a friend or whatever it might be. Anything?
Yeah, further, we let you make stuff private members only, public members only and leaders only. Kids can't upload too much, so they can't upload media or posts or events. Only leaders can, but kids can comment on anything. Or you can change the settings so that everything has to be approved. We don't recommend that unless your group deteriorates, trying to make the conversation. But yeah, so I'd try it before, try and be open and cut it down as much as you need to. We're going to wrap up.
Yeah, do you want
to? Yeah, we've put these in your show bags. It's just an intro to Fervor. So, remind you of what we're doing.
If there's any other questions, we've both put our email addresses on the bottom there, and I'm happy to offer any advice if you want me to look at stuff. And Gus?
Yeah, if you're going to know this stuff, I'll answer for you.
We're more than happy to help you out with that type of stuff. I was saying to the previous group, I'm actually in the process of, I reckon go further and get on to it. But if you're interested in making a standalone website as well, I'm actually in the process of making a 10-step guide to making a WordPress site for next to no money. And so keep an eye out on my... if you're interested in finding out about that, shoot me an email, or just check out my website every day. That'll be another thing. I post daily, actually.
There you go.
I posted during one of the
talks. One post 6 months ago.
I'll quickly pray and pray that as we use the internet, we honour Jesus in it. So have a pray with me. Our gracious Father, we thank you that we've been gathered by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we've been gathered into a real community, a community that will last forever, and a community that we are able to express in each of our youth ministries and churches week by week. We praise you for that real community, and we praise you for the real love and real fellowship and real encouragement that many teenagers in our groups are part of with that. But we pray that you help us as we think about online and think about the internet, that those that are in our youth groups who are Christian would be Christian online as well, and that we'd be able to use the internet and use web technologies and media and all those types of things to enhance our real community. We pray that Jesus' name would be honoured and that you would be glorified. Amen. Thanks, guys.